ever ready.
Ready spaghetti.
Call me Duracell.
Why? Why am I calling you Duracell?
Call me Energizer.
Because you keep going and going and going?
Yeah, pretty much.
When do you stop?
Never ending.
Yikes. That's a scary thought.
We are out here. Fuck y'all talking about. Sophisticated ignorance. Are y'all fucking crazy?
That's a fact. Talk
are y'all
great?
Yo, y'all get me tight. Like, I be out here trying to be humble. Let's not get fucking crazy. Sophisticated ignorance.
Welcome to Sophisticated Ignorance. I'm Vixen J.
I got a lot to say, Vixen J. Hi, it's your girl Rovi, you know.
Of course you have a lot to say. That's why you're on this podcast. Because we have plenty of things to talk about.
All the time.
Welcome to another episode. Hope you all are doing well out there. Just another week in the neighborhood. You know, we're just out here trying to survive. The internets are constantly interneting, so we have a lot of things to share and discuss.
Yeah.
Today. Yeah, how are you feeling, Rove? Feeling good?
Just a bit tired, but that's what adulting is.
Yeah. It's not adulting, it's being a responsible person. You see, you know, I always like when we can call back on certain things when it comes to past episodes, you know? Because it feels good. It feels like we're doing the work.
Yeah.
And our audience is eating it up.
I agree. But I don't like adulting. Sorry, quote unquote. That's what I'm going to refer back to that because this is not what I signed up for. But
yeah, nobody likes a level of being responsible. It stinks, it's ghetto, and yeah, it big sucks. So that's pretty much what that is. But yeah, let's get into today's topics. Boy, it's going to be a racially charged episode today here, kids. We got lots of things to discuss, especially this recent trailer that came out with this miniseries happening on Amazon Prime. And if you haven't heard about it, the name of the show is called Them. And there's something about the show which strikes a very similar resemblance to the movie Us by Jordan Peele. And me and Rovi, we both watched the trailer. And to break it down, the trailer of the show, basically, black family in 1950s California, they move into a new house. They're the only black family in the neighborhood. All the whites are looking at them like, oh, what are these niggers doing here? And then a whole bunch of scary and unfortunate events ensue. Blatant forms of discrimination and racism. The family is targeted. And then after, there's like a very explicit like hate crime that happens on the black family's front porch. The wife is like, fuck these crackers. And then a whole bunch of wild shit happens. Now, once again, the internets are saying, yo, this movie is very similar, or this series, I should say, is very similar to the movie Us. And the fact that it's called Them instead of Us is already funny in itself. Like, if
I love it.
But no, even if you look at the posters for these two things, they are strikingly similar, coming down to the font of the title, the look, the aesthetic. And granted, yes, if you know Jordan Peele, you know that he has pretty much reinvented the whole genre of like black horror, you know, movies, right?
In the past, he paved the way. Yeah.
He definitely reinvented it, right?
Yeah.
So now seeing something like this, and Them is executively produced by Lena Waithe. So if you're familiar with her productions, then you should be familiar with this one. But
I like her too.
Yeah, I mean, she's cool. She's had her problematic moments in the past. I can't really pull those receipts, but she's had her moments. But with this, the main sentiment for people online is just like, oh, not another one. It's less about the fact that, I mean, it's a big factor that she pretty much copy and pasted Us and called it Them, which is just funny to me. But I mean, it comes into the bigger conversation of black trauma fatigue and a lot of people seeing stuff like this. And granted, I'm not going to lie. Looking at the trailer, yeah, it's very entertaining, has all of the sentiments of,
it
you
got
know,
me. I want to watch it.
Oh, I bet you do. I bet you are tuned in. You
I'm tuned in.
Wait.
I need to. First of all, I love a horror film, black or white. But now, ooh, just glossed with racism. I'm ready to fight the power.
Not glossed.
I'm ready. I am so ready. I love this. I have to actually watch Antebellum, too. I have to mentally prepare myself to watch that. I've been doing that for about a year now.
Does Antebellum have racial undertones?
Oh, my God, big time. If you watch that, ooh, you need a day of, like, non-white people around you, because it's not against to the white, you know, my white counterparts and my colleagues now, but it digs
at Antebellum.
That
okay,
unhealing,
right.
Yeah, it digs at that unhealing wound that we have of oppression, racism, and slavery. So,
but okay, yeah. So I mean, all right. So after watching, and for those of you who haven't seen the trailer or heard of it yet, you know, definitely go online and watch it and. You know,
yeah, it's called Them. Yeah,
it's called Them, not like us,
not us, but Them.
But Them, and then there's a sequel to Them called They, which is coming out in a couple of years as well. So just stay tuned.
Don't do that.
At this point, it's just what the hell? the next one is gonna be We. Just it's ridiculous.
Stop it.
But you know, you look at these type of shows and stuff like that, and yes, once again, black horror or black thrillers is a very niche genre when it comes to movies and TV. But at a certain point, are we consuming too much black traumatic experiences, right? Because keep in mind, when it comes to black people, it's the same tropes. It's either slavery, it's either race discrimination, it's either police brutality. It's either falls in one of these three categories, right? It's never something nuanced. It's never something out of those realms. And I mean, for you, do you feel like watching these type of imageries and stuff when it comes to media, is that exhausting to you, or is it just, or do you feel like it's kind of a part of the norm?
I don't think it's exhausting to me. I think that for me, it's traumatic in itself just being black and doing our day-to-day every day. So we have to experience these regardless if Hollywood wants to force it down our throat or not. You know, I wouldn't say it's a norm, but in 2021 now, I think that with the climate that we are in, especially with the Black Lives Matter movements, and we're making a name and a staple now more than ever, a lot of people are just becoming more desensitized to it. So now that they're seeing it more, they don't understand the experience because they would never be a black person, but I don't think that it triggers a lot of stuff because we go through it outside of the film, outside of the books, outside of the social media, because even though it's on TV, it's on the news platforms, a lot of people don't realize this is real life. They're watching it on TV and they may never, especially in the pandemic, a lot of people haven't gone outside. Let's talk about our white counterparts. They don't know what the experience is. So for them, it might be looking like another trailer to a movie. Like America is another trailer to a movie that black people are going through racism, oppression, and going back to slavery. I think that putting it out there for future generations will do more good than harm. For our generations now, we're not even 40, and we've all seen so many things. My first little spiel of racism was with Amadou Diallo. With the case in junior high school, and everybody was talking about it. That was my first piece. And from then on, we had Amistad. My teacher showed us the film Amistad. So this is how I'm able to know more about my history, because I've had black professors and teachers who made it okay for us to learn about the traumas in our past, and also not to be left with it feeling triggered or feeling angered, but finding a place of understanding and knowing when to stand up for yourself and what's right is right and what's wrong is wrong. You know what I mean? Like, we've been engraved for that since birth, which is sad. And you know what? You know whose fault is this? It's the white people's fault. I'm not even trying to say derogatory, but they made it a claim to judge somebody else on their skin tone.
Oh, big mood. Yeah.
It's from then. And then because now we're being more vocal about it, and we're being proactive about it, and we're going out and we're rallying and we're getting together and we're making a voice and being loud about it, they're like, oh, it's really not your fault. It's not that serious. We understand slavery happened umpteen years ago, but you guys should just get over it. No, we can't do that. You can't do that. The dehumanization, the violence. You know, I read something somewhere. Why doesn't Germany have like an anti-Semitic hanging up and Americans still have the Confederate flag? And somebody was like, oh, Germany's ashamed of their history. America is not.
Right. Which is a very good point. And I did hear about that myself. I do hear what you're saying about the level of, you know, in a historical sense, these type of stories need to exist. I think when it comes to media, and especially when it comes to these fictional pieces, you know, whether it's TV, books, film, it's a double-edged sword because for me, I'm tired. Like, I don't want to see another slavery movie, Roby. I'm tired of the slavery movies. I mean, we've seen it all before, right? It's just like, and though white people may deny slavery or deny it, you know, historically it happened, right? And it's like, how much slavery stories can you retell over and over and over and it be like, what, where's the difference, right? I mean, yes, slavery happened for 400 years, very long time, right?
Yeah.
But as I said, like, how many stories could actually come out of it? I think there's another series that's supposed to be coming out that's revolved around Harriet Tubman. I forgot the name of it. I think it's called Harriet or Freedom, something to that effect. But, you know, it's just like, how many iterations of these slavery stories can there be to where people don't understand what that looks like? My first instance when it comes to like just slavery narratives was Roots. Remember Roots? Mm. And it was like a 10 cassette. Well, this is when cassettes were around. So for those of you who, you know, are listening, this was way back. Like the original Roots, like, was on
10. I wanted to watch Roots.
Was on 10 cassettes, and you had to watch each one in parts, and that shit was longer than Titanic. And you know what I'm saying?
I never watched Roots.
You never watched Roots?
Well, see, at the time, you have to remember, I grew up in Grenada, so it was very limited resources. Oh, wow. I mean, I actually grew up in, like, my childhood was there. I went to school there. We had, like, a few channels. It wasn't like today. Now it's different. Everything is streaming online. But I didn't have that luxury, so we didn't have the opportunity to get something like that unless somebody brought it in. You know what I mean? Right. So it was kind of different. But go ahead, sorry. I haven't watched Roots.
Yeah, no. I mean, it's one of like the first like climatic huge, you know, tellings of slavery, you know. I mean, you know of Kuta Kente and that whole that character and stuff like that. So, you know, when that industry first came out a long time ago, you know, for a lot of people, that was like eye-opening. It was like, oh my gosh. And granted, that was a fictional telling, but it was still revolved around a historical moment. And for those watching it, it was so profound and it was deep and it was moving. And it showed this character's journey from Africa, being enslaved, coming to the States, then being adapted to all these things. So that was at the time, like the biggest thing for me when it came to just the slavery narrative. And then years went by and there were just so much other shows and movies. You had 12 Years a Slave, then you had that show that was on the Kofi guy was on it, or was it Kofi? What was that show that was on that channel, Rebellion, or oh my gosh, I'm botching this whole thing. People who know what I'm talking about, they know. It was like a television show about slavery. Rovi, come on, help me out here.
I'm trying to give me more clues.
I can't give you any clues if I can't remember the damn show. Yeah, so there was that show that came on. There was some other slavery. Oh, Amistad was another movie at the time. That was
Are you talking about the same show that I think Lena Waithe did it too, right?
Oh, Underground.
She did that.
Yes, Underground was the name of the show.
Okay. I think she was a producer on that, right? Or she executive produced it.
Something to that effect.
I think. Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, so Underground was the name of the show that was referring to. So
yeah, oddly Roots, enough.
What?
Not to cut you off. Journey, the girl, I like her. She was in that show. I remember that show now. It was one season, but now she's in Lovecraft Country, which is also tied to a lot of the nuance, dark,
no,
black,
but it's good
ratio.
Okay. I'm great. No. Okay, I like actually how you mentioned Lovecraft Country, because that show...
I haven't seen it either. I know.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
It's fine. No, but I mean, there were a lot of nuances, and that's another thing that I want to talk about when it comes to this conversation. Lovecraft Country introduced a lot of nuances, though it was baked in a level of like racism, and they talked about discrimination, all these things. It was, I mean, it took place in like 1950s or 1940s, 30s, 40s, 50s, one of those times, but the early 1900s. You know, it was baked in that time. So yes, there were obviously, you know, overtones and undertones of like racism and discrimination, and you had those moments of, you know, police, you know, racial profiling and all these things. But there was so much nuances to it that elevated it to more than just like, oh, okay, black people in the past getting, you know, discriminated by cops and being racially profiled and all these things. There was so much nuance to it that elevated the narrative and actually enriched the characters to where it was more than just about those things. And that's what I personally like about Lovecraft Country. So for those who haven't watched it, please give it a chance, because it's a really dope show. Anyway, but yeah, so once again, so much slavery, movies and shows and all these things. And it's to the point where it's like, why is there such a fascination about this period of time for us as black people, to where, and mind you, these are the only types of shows that are getting awards and recognition and accolades, where it's like 12 Years a Slave awards, you know, and it's like, all right, yes, black people acting in these roles as downtrodden slaves and all these things and going through the journey, it's heart moving and compelling. It's like, if you want an award, make a slave movie and boom, you get some level of recognition. Because how can you not get recognized for making a movie like that, right? How dare you? And if you do, guess what? You are
why would they snub them to the I, to the S, to the T. Why would you snub a black movie and risk being called racist?
So, you know, me and you, Rovi, we should make a movie about slavery. We should.
We can. My mom and I watched 12 Years a Slave, and it's, I don't know, this is so bad. And she like turned and she looked at me, and she, this was in the movie theater. We went to the movie theater in Lindenwood Theaters, actually, when it first came out. And then she turned to me, like, I think, I forgot what scene it was. And then she was like, you know, if you were alive in these times, I don't think you would have made it. And I said, what? I said, what do you mean by that?
I'm sorry, what?
Exactly. I said, what do you mean by that? I think she's talking about me. I would be the first to rebel. Like, no, how dare you tell me I can't do something. Like, if a white person tries to pull me aside for some, any old reason, whatever obnoxious reason they have just to discriminate against somebody, I would be the first to probably lay hands on someone.
Rover, I'm telling you right now, if we were to be zapped back in time to slavery times, none of us are making it.
That's what she said.
I'm not going to sit here and play big man and think, oh, with all the knowledge and shit that I have, I'm going to beat up these white people. No, I'm getting whooped and more than likely killed. And that's just what it is. Because slavery.
That's true. But then I think when, you know, when people started seeing that, you know, those who were rebelling, they had to be smarter. They had to be smarter and infiltrate. Right. I don't know.
Even the rebellions, I mean, had its toll. You know what I mean? Like, it wasn't as easy as, all right, we can't take the shit anymore. We're just going to, you know, rise up. I mean, that took whatever. We weren't there, Rove. So, I mean, we can.
I know.
We weren't there. We don't know exactly.
We can speculate as much as we want to.
We can speculate as much as we want. But all that to say is that, you know, with these narratives that just constantly keep going over and over, I'm personally just tired of it. It's like, there's so much more things out there than racial injustice and civil rights and slavery and all these stories that are, yes, baked into our history in this country, that we could tell. There's so much more stories. But I also thought of the double-edged sword to that. I used to watch a show called, it was like a time traveling show. And one of the parts that I liked about it was there was a black character in the show. The name of the show was called Timeless. And it was about these time travelers that went back in time. And the nuance of the show was that the black character would go time traveling And then he would notice that in every period that they would jump to, that as a black person, there was never a good time in history to be black. Mm. Right? And if you really think about it in that way, if you put on your little nerd hat and think, yeah, what if you had the opportunity to time travel and go into the past, what part of the past, where would you go where you'd be as a black person safe? You wouldn't be caught in a level of scrutiny or discrimination or racism. The answer's none.
Realistically. I would, if I had to give it some thought, I would go back to even before boats were invented.
Before boats were
invented, what? Yes. Sounds funny, but that's how they came and colonized.
We shouldn't have to go back to whatever year AD to be feel like, oh yeah, everything's safe, everything's fine.
But that's the only place where you can, and I don't even know, quote unquote, feel safe, because if you put anybody in a confined space in some kind of communal area, there's going to be a divide somewhere, and people are going to segregate themselves, maybe naturally, we don't know, and they might be dark-skinned people on one side, light-skinned people on the other side, just because they're similar. We're attracted to people who are similar to, you know what I mean?
Of course.
And if something is outside of that, you don't want to fuck with them necessarily.
Yeah.
But again, I don't know. But that's an interesting point that you brought up, that if you had the opportunity to go back into time, to travel to a time or space, what's a really good time for black people where you can actually enjoy life or just experience it?
Right. Safely.
Safely.
Word. And I don't think there's... So when that show brought that up, I was like, damn, son. Like, I can't even time travel? Like, that's crazy. And... And, you know, it made me think of, so as much as I, you know, lament about, you know, no more slavery movies and no more things, then I also thought about the point of, is it possible to create any sort of media, a film or a series involving black people that doesn't touch on these things? And would it be naive or ignorant to ignore it, right? Because at the end of the day, as much as it sucks, like, slavery and discrimination and racism, all these things are baked into the black experience, right? It's not entirely the black experience, but it makes it up. So let's say if you were to make a show about like a black family moving into a new neighborhood, you know, just a general thing, right? And not even related to them, but let's say if you're just like, all right, black suburban family into new neighborhood in the 1980s, and you know, I mean, what, you're going to write in there that the black family was peaceful, nobody harmed them, nobody was discriminatory against them, like, everything was just peachy and peaceful. It's just like, that's kind of tone deaf, and it also is not realistic, right? So unfortunately, you know, that's the double-edged sword to this thing, where it's like, if we do ignore these things, then are we just neglecting the fact that this historically has always been a thing, and... But it just sucks. It just sucks. Because it's like, I want to enjoy like a black show. Like, for example, Black Lightning, right? For those of you who, as I said, I'm getting very nerdy, so just keep it up with me here. Black Lightning is a show about superheroes. And it revolves around a black family that happens to have superpowers. You know, it's a part of DC, whatever. And it's a cool show, you know? Guy has lightning powers, he's fighting crime and all that. But in... You know, like a subplot to the show is that this is a black man living in a very racially charged town, and you see themes about like police brutality and racism and discrimination, and it's realistic to that. It places you outside of the superhero genre and makes it realize, like, yo, outside of like the fancy effects and the superpowers, like, these are still black people living in the world, right? And they have to face stuff like this every day. And when I see scenes like that, you know, for example, there's one scene in the show where, you know, there's like a black kid running down the street and the cops pull up and the cops try to chase the black kid down and try to apprehend him. And the main character, who has these electricity powers, he's like trying to advocate for the kid, like, no, stop, he didn't do anything. And the cops are like, hey, get down on the ground. And they pull out their guns and they're aiming at him. And in real life, that type of imagery would be like shocking. It would be like triggering, right? But this time around, the character like zaps these cops with electricity, and boom, done. Now, if we had fucking electrical powers, I'm damn for sure zapping some cops. But I don't have electrical powers. I don't have superpowers. I can't. These are things that aren't real, right? It's such a weird balance between fiction and reality when it comes to these black narratives that we have to kind of lean into for it to be realistic and for it to make sense, but still kind of take us away. Because most people that watch these type of shows or these type of movies, you know, they watch it as a means of escape, right? Yep. And it's unfortunate that, you know, within the black experience, you know, these type of mandates have to be in place for there to be some level of realism, even though we're trying to escape through this fictional lens. So it's
but we can't. Even recently, I think the 37-year-old, or I don't know how old she was, but she had a house in Long Island, and they were just throwing like feces, telling her she needs to move. Remember that story?
Yeah,
I think I saw it on like Channel 7. And also a woman who's just walking down the street, and women are this older woman just throwing out racial slurs at her. The thing is, we cannot escape the reality, and. It's exhausting.
And that's the catch 22, because it's like, you would think that movies and television and stuff
would bring
that
more
realm,
awareness, right?
Well, not just bring awareness, but that would be our level of escape from the everyday shit that we have to go through. But sadly, if you're seeing the same type of examples on the screen, there's like, where do you get that level of separation, right? Do you either just accept that this is life and you can't escape it? Or is there a realm where you can escape it through these fictional lenses, and it'd be like, okay, well, I can enjoy this without feeling like that level of trauma or feeling that level of just like social angst. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Like if I had a bad fucking day, or for example, let's say with Black Lives Matter, perfect example, Black Lives Matter, everything that happened last year, right? You know, there was shows that were coming out at that time that were reflecting on that same scenario, or they were recreating it in a certain way. And I'm sitting there looking at it as like I think Blackish might have done an episode about that, right? And I'm sitting here and it's like, all right, I get why they did it, but I mean, come on, y'all. Like, but then once again, the nuance of like, does a show like Blackish ignore what's going on to the streets, or do they have to reflect because this is real life? You know what I mean?
Right.
And let's say, if anything, if they did not address it or they did not present it in a way, then to us as an audience, it's like, well, how could they not do an episode, or how could they not?
It goes against the name of the show.
Like, right. And it's just like, it's so frustrating. It's frustrating. Because it's just like, at a certain point, I just don't want to have to consume this all the time. Like, you literally see it out in the streets. Why should I have to consume it in the media that I consume too? It's overkill.
It's overkill for black people, but we still need to educate our radically racial counterparts.
But do you think it's actually benefiting that? Like, do you think it's actually, like,
I don't know. It's making them uncomfortable, I'm sure. Making them see things, but I don't know if a change gonna come.
Well, look at the shooting that happened in Atlanta, right? Case in point. Now, mass shootings have been happening in this country forever, right? And it's unfortunate that, you know, the Asian women, you know, were killed in that assault. But, yeah, you know, I mean, these are conversations that keep happening all the time. Mass shooting, more than likely a white male shooter, you know, mm-hmm, casualties are had. And the same conversation around guns and all these things. And even in movies and films, you see stuff like this happen too. And it's like, all right, you separate real life from these fictional things, but still, at the end of the day, these are still things that happen, right? And it's like, all right, am I going to sit here and see this thing unfold in real life and say, like, okay, well, these are isolated incidents, or make all these excuses or whatever, and then when it comes to a movie that reflects the same thing, be like, oh, wow, that's crazy, you know? It's very challenging. It's hard. It's tough. It's tough to really separate those two, because you can, right? Because art imitates life, right? And it's like, if that is the case, of course you're gonna pull from real life scenarios to reflect the art that you're creating, or to make the audience relate to what's going on, right? But sometimes black people just want to see us in like very fantastical moments where, like, vampires and wizardry and all these things, and we don't have to deal with racism and a magical world where that doesn't exist for a moment. Like, just let us escape for 1 second where skin color and tone and all these things don't matter. And it's just like, give me a show about some black ass wizards on some black Harry Potter, and all they have to do is be in a similar lens where they don't have to experience all these things and just kind of make it happen, right? In Harry Potter, there was no level of... Was there a level of... Well, granted, there wasn't much black people in Harry Potter, so... there wasn't really much ways of introducing a level of, racial undertones there. But just in that example of, like, why can't we have, like, a show or a movie like Harry Potter, but with black people, where the main characters just... It's a coming-of-age show or a coming-of-age movie. They don't have to deal with all
maybe
these things.
Maybe that's the platform for you to fill in.
Oh, so I have to make it out.
Why not? I don't see why not. That actually sounds like a really good show.
Are you going to executive produce this show?
If you want me to.
Do you know how to executively produce anything?
I've learned how to do a lot of producing and video editing, so.
When?
During the pandemic.
Oh, I see. Oh, you're talking about TikTok productions. Oh, I see. Gotcha. Cool. All right.
So do you want me to help you with this or not? Because we're trying to promote healthier relationships with black people and in the black community and to push positive narratives. So if you want me to help you with that, I can do that.
I see. All right. Well, if you are claiming yourself as a video producer, then by all means. Because we all know that titles are very important.
Very. Mm. Very.
Yes. Yeah, so, I mean, for those of you, once again, who want to watch the trailer, you can watch it, make your own judgments. I just know, personally, it is very challenging, you know, enjoying shows and movies like this and still have to, like, deal with the everyday reality that, you know... I mean, granted, yes, this movie or this series, Them, is very fantastical in nature, but there's still very realistic undertones of race and racism and discrimination. And it's just like, if you feel like, you know, that is a level of escape for you, then that's cool. But, I mean, I also wouldn't blame you if you feel that it's just way too much black trauma and it's way too heavy and that's just something that you may not be interested in. And outside of the fact that it's pretty much a copy and paste of the movie Us. So, yeah.
But, honestly, they copy and paste movies all the time. So
this is also very true. So, take it for what it is and catch it on Amazon if you want to. Your life, your rules. Your account. Unless you're willing to share. But speaking of racism, we don't really talk too much politics on the show, but I feel like this particular bill that happened or passed recently in Georgia is something that should really be highlighted. This is more of a for-you-to-know, FYI, type of thing. And we could just talk about it briefly, but... there was a recent bill that passed in Georgia called the SB 202 bill. A lot of people are coining it as like a new Jim Crow voter suppression bill. And for those of you who don't know about it, basically what the bill does is restrict a lot of voter rights for certain people. And primarily, it doesn't implicitly target people of color, but low-key it does. You know, You know those type of bills where it passes and... it affects a certain group of people. So what happens in the bill is that for those people who want to vote, if they want to vote absentee by mail, they have to present a photo ID. Now, for most people in Georgia, especially depending on their generation and stuff like that, they don't have IDs. Now, thankfully, last year, thanks to Stacey Abrams and other people, they were able to register a lot of these people with a level of ID or just register them in general so they can vote. And that was one huge reason why Georgia turned blue last year and got us Mr. Biden. So
in a sense, it sounds like the governor of Georgia is just trying to retaliate with this SB 202 bill, right?
Something like it. Yeah, for sure. I mean, it's definitely a Trump's era style bill that they passed. So, right. So the thing is that, you know, voters will have to have a level of photo ID to vote absentee by mail. And also, it cuts the amount of time that people have to request the absentee ballot. And it limits where the ballot drop boxes can be placed and where they can be accessed, right? So, I mean, just even just hearing that, it's like they are trying to cut down on certain people being able to register to vote by limiting all these resources. And of course it's going to affect Black people because, you know, the way, you know, Georgia is set up, depending on the region and areas that they are, there are some people that just can't access them. They either don't have a car, they're far away, their nearest, you know, voting center or voter or registered voting place is miles away. You know, like there's so much factors that affect, you know, the voting process down there. Another thing that was put in place was that it's now illegal to provide food and water to those waiting in line when it comes to voting. And that's fucking wild because it's just like, how can no one...
That's human, basic human needs.
Right. It's basic human needs. And, you know, I mean, these type of things are happening and it's just really important to pay attention to. But just know that the government is out here just, I mean, not even the government, it's mainly the Republicans. But Republicans are out here just constantly trying to keep certain populations down, especially people of color. And, you know, it sucks that this type of bill is put in place. And even there was somebody who was arrested. There was one of the Democratic state representatives. Their name is Park Cannon. They were escorted out of the legislation building after they allegedly tried interrupting the proceedings. And it was a black individual. And yeah, that's just another example of, you know, people's voices being stifled when it comes to these things. And it just kind of sucks.
What was she being arrested for?
I have no idea. Apparently they arrested her after she knocked on the door of the chambers during the vote or some shit like that. She was coming in to try to oppose what was going on, and the Georgia police just came in and arrested her.
So you can get arrested for knocking on the door now?
Apparently so. It's just trash in itself. But, you know, I mean, Georgia has always been that type of state where...
Corrupt.
Yeah. You know, as I said, this level of voter suppression has been a thing. You know, even once again, last year when you had all levels of trying to keep people from the polls and, you know, restricting access and all these things. It's always been this way. This is just kind of doubling down on that. And
it boggles my mind because there's so much Black excellence in Georgia.
So much Black excellence.
Why and how is this still happening? You know?
The government doesn't want to see Black people in this case. Or not the government, just more the GOP. Doesn't want to see Black people mm-hmm. exercise their right to vote. Or if anything, yeah. you know, there's going to be the nuances of it not being spelled out directly, right? But the implications of this bill, you know, creates an environment where it makes it harder for Black people to register to vote or to be able to vote in these type of procedures. So it, you know, it's never blatantly racist, but the undertones, if you read these things, very racist. For example, I saw another article about how, if you're familiar with filibustering, which is a method when it comes to deliberation in government where people like stall a vote by talking for hours and hours and hours on end to kind of interrupt the conversation. But I found out where I read an article that filibustering in itself had some like racist undertones in the sense of it was really implemented as a means of like blocking civil rights era bills and other conversations and stuff.
100% agree.
And yeah, I didn't really know about that because from what I've heard about filibustering, you know, in government was like, okay, somebody's stalling on this bill that affects like women's rights or something to that effect. And, you know, I mean,
just to buy more time.
Right. The filibustering process has been dramatized a lot in certain situations, but there was never really understanding of why it came about or how it even started. So just to kind of read that and understand that it was used in that nature is just another example of the government being trash. So yeah, it's just kind of unfortunate, but we also have to keep in mind that everyone, especially when it comes to these law members, they do have their agendas. And sometimes their agendas equate to, hey, we have to protect our party and we have to protect our vote. So we are going to prevent any person that is against that to, you know, prosper. But as I said, this was just more of an FYI for you guys. Just do your own research and, you know, find out information. I'm pretty sure the people in Georgia, especially the black people in Georgia, are super pissed about this. And I'm pretty sure they're going to fight this tooth and nail. So, yeah, just a little bit of information for those of you who are not big political heads. To keep in the know. And yeah, stay woke, I guess. 100%. The answer is stay woke.
We gotta fight and infiltrate. We gotta be smarter, which is sad. You know, drew the battle lines and now we coming back.
Coming back stronger than ever.
All day, every day, baby.
Oh, I didn't get to ask you. If you could make, going back to the previous topic, if you could make a show and or movie based around black people that did not involve any type of racism or discrimination or slavery or anything, what would your ideal movie look like or show? Mm. Describe genre, describe ambiance, describe a level of plot. Use your imagination.
Now I gotta put my executive cap on. If I had to do a show, I would do a medical drama. I would.
A medical drama.
But a medical drama.
That's a bit on brand for you. Come on. It's a little lazy.
You think so?
A medical drama? Because
I feel like the medical drama that is representative now is not representative of the black experience within the medical community.
What about Grey's Anatomy?
Grey's Anatomy has a token.
Wow. We didn't even talk about tokens, but that's crazy.
They have the token of a few. There's a lot of implicit and racial biases that are not even shown up in Grey's Anatomy a lot. They don't tell you about the people that they undermine for surgeries or the people who don't even get interviews into residency spots. There's a whole lot. So I would bring up a show in that regard. But again, not racially, you know, based. It'll be the happy-go-lucky black folks of medical drama. Of course. All the good shit. We see all the good shit that happens to our white counterparts. Look at all the good shit that happens to the black people who actually work hard, you know, and have a place within the medical drama. We don't, like, for me, growing up, all I've seen ER, I've seen one or two surgeons there that they have. I think when they cast them, they have to make them at least a surgeon or ER trauma doctor, you know. Somebody so they can have some kind of like weight. And they're always around when either a shooting goes down or some kind of racially implicit. No, I just want one where they have a bunch of different departments coming together, highlighting black nurses, highlighting black physical therapists, highlighting everybody underneath the scope in an actual real racial drama. Black medical drama where it's very happy-go-lucky. The characters get together, stay together. There's no deaths. There is no traumatic stuff. It might be a boring-ass show, but at least it is representative.
Not boring.
It's representative of actual successful black people. You know what I mean? Every show that I've seen so far, we always have to go through the struggle. Mm. I'm not saying that it's not, like you said, it's tiring. It's exhausting to see. You know, you don't want PTSD to say, you know, I don't want to go through this again or go through the trials and tribulations of trying to get into medical school or being part of affirmative action or things like that. No, a normal person who comes from a normal background, you know, born and raised in America, you went to school, you did well, you're doing well, you find yourself in a nice environment, a nice home, a nice place we could go to work. Pretty normal, right? We have that crap all the time with these shows. And then they add in a little either gay flair or like Modern Family. That's one of those shows, right? One of those happy-go-lucky shows where it has to be like a kind of twist. No, just a regular, normal black family. I know Blackish is trying, but she's Blackish. She ain't black.
Wowzer. Ouch.
She's not black-black.
Who's not black-black?
Tracee Ellis Ross. Come on.
She's black enough.
She's still half white.
Okay.
That's why the show is called Black-ish.
No, that's not the reason why the show is called Black-ish.
Yes, it is.
Yes, no, it is. No, mixed-ish is the reason why.
Mixed-ish is a whole other thing.
We're but mixed-ish is whole. About Tracee Ellis Ross's character, but.
But you see, it's kind of, they got it. The thing is, that show is kind of happy-go-lucky because they're all part of the commune, right? But they have to have some kind of implicit racial bias for it to keep it going. Because other than that, they're just a regularly normal family going through family
but
shit.
But you do realize mixed-ish is based on the fact that, yes, post-commune, whatever, they now have to deal with the nuances and realities of life outside of that world, and they have to face all these things that they never had to face before. So there is definitely racial undertones in all these things that they have to experience.
Right. I want something like that without the racial undertones. That's what I'm saying.
So you just want mixed. You don't want mixed-ish.
Wow. Goodbye. Have a good night. We're trying to alleviate any traumas okay, that we so, have so we can have a good show. All right. Let me
say. You have
say,
to eliminate the word
a full
mixed.
House. We could do a full house.
Okay.
What do we have growing up? We had half and half. We had one-on-one. We had sister-sister. We
Family
had,
Matters.
Family Matters.
We had Fresh Prince. I mean? We had In the House.
We can do that.
But see,
we can do that.
And, but once again, all right. So think about it in this way. If let's take Family Matters. If Family Matters had no mention or no inkling of racially charged anything, would you enjoy the show as much?
Yeah. I would have. Because you know who carried the show? Steve Urkel.
Obviously.
I would have enjoyed the show. And, you know, regardless of the racial implications, which I know that you have to address, you know, like there's no, in an ideal world, you can't have a show without having some kind of racial implication. But they talked about normal stuff, bullying, girlfriends, parent relationships, stealing cars, getting into trouble, you know, things that happen every day without me saying it happened to me because I'm black.
Oh no, but they had the infamous, you know.
I know they had the episode.
We all know the episode. We all know. Come on. But I'm saying every black show has that episode.
I think they tried. They tried though, because they made Officer Winslow the one of the. Was he even a real cop?
He was a real cop. Okay.
I haven't seen him do any cop-ish stuff, except when Eddie was in trouble, or they had that episode where they had to do the jewel heist.
Yeah, when they were on the train. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know. Hey, Carl Winslow, even though he wasn't Carl Winslow, he played a cop. The actor played a cop in Die Hard. He was a cop in that movie. Yeah, and he was a pivotal part of the plot. But that's not the point here. The point is that, you know, yes, if... I'm thinking about it. If these type of shows did not have, like, if Fresh Prince didn't have any type of, like, racially charged or racially motivated plot lines, would it be the same show?
Mm-hmm. Or the Cosby. I forgot about the Cosbys. Or the Look Cosby at me. Show. I fell into the culture of canceling Bill. And I threw the Cosbys
right, but why wouldn't
in
you?
The back. I don't know. I just really forgot that I grew up watching the Cosby Show.
Are we not canceling Bill on this here podcast?
I don't know. But I enjoyed the Cosby Show.
Oh, I see.
That's what I'm saying. So I just removed that thought of everything.
Gotcha.
You know, because I was definitely a Cosby Show, definitely a full Fresh Prince, Full House, Family Matters. That was my shows. You know what I mean?
Of course.
So
yeah, we grew up on that stuff, type of stuff.
But like his philosophy, not to big him up, but he was right that we did, again, so we won't face any PTSD behind these racial traumas. We need shows like The Cosby Show, like Fresh Prince, that show black families in a positive light. And that actually helped found my foundation of what I want in the future, you know, in for families, for my life, for my day to day. You know what I mean? So I'm like, oh, damn, I want a family like that. Cool, they're cool. There's no drama. They're happy. They're laughing. They have parties. They dance. You know what I mean? Somebody might steal a car. They forgive the kid. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, that would be ideal, right? I mean, I was thinking about the show. What show was I just thinking about?
You know what's so bad, though? Right now, in our era, with streaming everywhere, there's so many different shows. You can't, You can't focus and key in on one that can be the exemplary type of show that would help alleviate, I guess, past traumas. We can't. There's too many avenues to go to. There's HBO Max, there's Netflix, Hulu, Amazon, and let's not talk about the just VH1, MTV, USA, BET. Oh, gosh. Even Oprah has her own channel. Like, there's so many, so many avenues. And movies now. You can't even let everybody watch the same movie because there's a million and one movies out.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess I'm thinking the only type of movies that are like black centric that don't have a level of like racial whatever are like, you know, like rom-coms, like black rom-coms. Those are pretty much, you know, like, oh, you know, black people find love and it's all silly and stuff and whatever. Yeah, that's probably the only example I could think of where, yeah, I mean, obviously there's like black people, so they're, you know, cultured and in that way, but it's not like you're watching a black rom-com where it's like, oh, shit, cops come out of nowhere and try to shoot somebody. I don't know. I just... yeah, so at the end of the day, it's like, you know...
Well, I know one movie that actually was great. And which, I knew you loved it. I'm surprised you haven't said anything about it.
Which movie is this now? Oh. Oh,
Black Panther.
Black Panther.
Oh my God, yes.
Black Panther was and is a good example.
Dream of. That's why everybody wants to move to Wakanda.
This is true. It's true. I mean, it did. Did it have racial? Not really. It was a superhero movie.
It enveloped everything that we wanted from a culture. You know, as representation.
Right. I mean, I think, yes, Black Panther was the perfect example of, like, if a black civilization existed and didn't have to deal with these things, what it would look like.
Yeah. Yep. Coming to America had that. If Zamunda was kind of like Wakanda, we could have had a perfect society. Honestly, so... Right.
And honestly, and to your point, you actually make up a really good point. I think the only way that we would be able to create a narrative in our own like fairness and positivity is if we create a whole different society.
Mm-hmm.
We need to create a whole different society. Black people need to get the fuck up ASAP and create our own society where none of these things have to exist. Happily ever after at the end.
Zakanda. Zamunda and Wakanda. Zakanda.
I think Earth itself is too ghetto. I think we just need to abandon Earth. Earth.
Ghetto.
We need to exhibit another planet. Just make like a... We need to make a black planet.
No. I think that went downhill as well. Did it not?
That's not the point. Solange tried to resuscitate it, and I don't know how that went. But that's not the point here.
All right.
Well, let's get to our question of the week. Seems like we're going off the rails. So yes, for those of you who do know, sometimes we answer some personal questions for you all to get to know me and Rovi a little better. Sorry, Rovi and I a little better. But if you have any questions for us, please email us at sophigpodcast@gmail.com and we shall answer all the questions that you may have, racially charged or otherwise. And today's question, is... What could someone do that makes them immediately unattractive to you, no matter how attractive they are physically? So basically, insert a person who you find extremely physically attractive, Rovi. Just give me one.
Idris.
Idris. Okay, keep that image in your head. For me, now I know how I've exemplified, or I know.
Okay, I changed my mind.
Oh my God. All right.
Okay, never mind. Idris. We'll keep with that. Okay.
Okay.
He's just one of them. I have a lot of crushes. Okay, go ahead.
All right. But just choose one for the example, please. Just okay. We're choosing Idris for the example. Thank you so much. For me, I know on this podcast I have expressed my high favoritism for Niecy Nash. But I'm going to choose someone different. I'm going to go with Jill Scott Yeah.
Wow, that's so funny. Somebody said I look like Jill Scott. Oh.
Word? That's what's up.
Probably just trying to get in my DMs.
Oh, my goodness. All right.
You know what? I was just going to say, they think every kind of pretty face, kind of chubby girl is automatically Jill Scott. So.
I suppose.
Wow. You didn't disagree.
No, I don't think it's true, but I just...
Ooh.
Okay, I'm digging myself a hole. That's not the point here. The point is that person was probably getting your DMs, and the answer is you're right. So, right. Picture someone that resembles Idris Elba, and I'll picture someone that resembles Jill Scott in my head. Okay. Now, what could this person do that will make them immediately unattractive to you? So imagine an Idris Elba-esque person.
It can be very rude. Rudeness, not like in a funny way, but like that's who they are. Like just undermining and condescending to people. Mm. Like just that awe of, wow.
No, sorry. Can you repeat?
I said undermining and condescending to people.
Right. Oh, sorry. This is a little static. Can you just repeat the rudeness part one more time?
I'm going to say that some people play on rudeness to hide behind, like, you know, how they really feel.
Ah, I see.
So, yeah, some people would be rude as a, shut the fuck up. You are pissing me off, right?
What am I doing? I'm actively listening to you, friend. Go on.
The Brooklyn is about to come out. But, especially being rude, inherently rude, and making it an effort to be rude. Especially the strangers. Like, just normal human decency. You know, you don't have to curse out the waiter because they didn't do something, or just be very demeaning or condescending to someone because they didn't do something that you didn't like. Like, that would turn me off immediately. I'm like, ew, what are you doing? Like, you were pretty on the outside, but unpretty on the inside. So,
Big ugly. You big ugly on the inside. You dirty.
Yeah, all of those adjectives. No, but that tells me, like, I always say, you know, you have to, if you're going to be with someone, you have to see how they deal with conflict, how are they when they don't have nothing in that regards. But if you're just inherently rude, like, if I say something and you just disregard me, I wouldn't feel like you're listening to me. You're not in this relationship for me. Maybe I look good on your arms. Maybe, you know, we're just physically attracted to each other, but it would dissolve. It wouldn't last long. I would take it, but so much.
Gotcha.
I'll be honest. If it's Idris, I'll probably, like, you know, give it a couple of months.
Months?
If it's good.
All right.
What
is fair enough.
The moaning? This is upsetting me.
No.
Guys do this all the time. They get with crazy girls and they try to wait out and they sleep with a girl for months, even years, even have situationships with them and then say, oh, we're not compatible. But they know that the girl was crazy from the first moment she showed her crazy. The first moment you show me your rudeness, if I choose to stay with you, that's my fault. But I know it makes it less attractive for me to, you know, for me coming from you. I will say, I know we're not going to be together, you know, but I don't want to stay somewhere and get stuck because, you know, the sex is good.
why'd you have to murmur that while you anyway
I don't like this.
Why don't you like
I feel like It's triggering to me. It's just like because I feel like this is what I do. Like, I'm attracted to a guy and I know for a fact he's an asshole, but I'm still like, maybe he won't be an asshole to me. Dun, dun, dun.
Plot twist.
Wrong. I'm batting zero. My average is zero. That's my average, and I'm like, I'm not doing anything to change or condition myself to make my average even better. So I'm at a zero.
I mean, yikes.
I mean, at least I wasn't getting cheated on.
This is very true. Harkening back to our last episode. Very true. I'm thinking for me. Okay, Jill Scott. Gosh. Oof. Sweet baby Jesus. What would Jill Scott-esque? What would Jill Scott-ish? Oh, that's what I'm calling her. What would Jill Scott-ish have to do? That was funny to me. I'm big cheesy. That was funny to me. What would Jill Scottish have to do to turn me off? Definitely attitude. I think just being hypercritical of things. Being very uncompromising in certain cases. You know, making me feel like the bad guy in every scenario. Also making me feel dumb. I don't like feeling dumb. And, you know, I've been in scenarios or relationships where I've been made to feel dumb by, you know, trying to voice my opinion or my thoughts or my feelings and those being undermined.
That does take a toll. Yeah.
So I think if that was the case where Jill Scottish was doing that to me, I would have to be pulled out of the relationship to the point where it's just like, you know what?
Wow. Yeah, so you would settle. Okay.
Not settle. Let's not say settle. It would just take me, similar to you, it might take a couple months, might take longer.
But why though?
Because it's Jill Scottish, you see. And for me, when I see bad qualities in people, I try to really like shove those down. Like really, really, like shove it. Shove it all the way down. Because I know that that part of them doesn't represent their whole. Right, and with Jill Scottish, she has her whole is made up of a lot of parts, and parts I would particularly like. So, you know, Iso de facto, excuse me,
tag
whomst,
Jill.
I can't. There's nobody. I can't tag Jill Scott because she's not Jill Scottish. You see what I mean? Two different people. So I can't tag Jill Scott because this is not about her. This is about Jill Scott-ish. It's a person that is Jill Scott-like. You see what I mean?
What happened if Jill Scott-ish?
Who's Jill?
Stop it. Jill Scott-ish sees errors in her ways and tries to change herself. Would you still stick around?
All right. Well, if...
But if you don't bring it up to her, she wouldn't know.
I see. It would look, it would seem as if Jill Scottish would have to align herself, quote unquote.
There's too many alignments. People need to get some yoga or some kind of something. Get with the program.
I mean, if me and Jill Scottish will have to sit on an IGTV video while I grasp her hand. Oh no, she would be grasping my hand because she's the toxic one. Right. Okay. So I'll be the one with the bonnet of salvation. Oh, sorry, the do-rag of revelation. And she would be grabbing my hand and then talking about her toxic ways. I think that could work out. I think I could be able to forgive at that point.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that's just me. Yeah, you know, at the end of the day, so those are our parameters. Once again, if you have any questions for us, please email us at sophigpodcast@gmail.com. And yeah. That's about that for that. Thank you all for listening. Another one in the files. Please stay tuned for some fun things going on. We have some things cooking up. I don't know when I'm going to announce it. I mean, it's very much in the works. But let's just say that it's going to be pretty, pretty cool. I'm sorry, that's so vague. It's so vague. But yeah, I don't like talking about things until they're actually in motion, so... Just know that we have some things cooking up for y'all that me and Rovi are excited about. Make sure to check out the podcast on all your podcast platforms that you tune into: SoundCloud, Spotify, Apple Podcast, iHeartRadio, YouTube as well. We're on the tubes. You can see our faces if you choose. You know, all within consent, of course.
I
all within love consent. A
man who's full of surprises, like Idris.
Well, hey, look, it's optional if it's going to be on YouTube or not. In the sense of our faces.
You know.
No.
Get at me.
In all seriousness, if you are not comfortable having your face online, scrub. Off.
I'm comfortable being on a dating app, I'm sure I can be on YouTube. I'm still single, but I'm sure I can be on YouTube.
What does one have to do with the other? I don't understand.
It's the same thing.
YouTube's not a dating app. And if people are using it, it could be. That's dirty. That's nasty. That's nasty.
So you wouldn't use YouTube for dating? I would use it for a dating app. If somebody's checking me. Why not?
All right. Why not? If it equates to a DM slide, then by all means, take it there.
Oh, Lord.
All right. So, yes, you can follow us on those platforms. Also, make sure to follow me and Rovi and DM slide respectfully, if you choose.
Disrespectful.
Why do you have to go through YouTube when you can go straight to the DMs direct? You know? No third parties interactions here. You could also follow the podcast.
I feel like you're cock blocking.
Who am I cock blocking? No, I'm. Me. If anything, I'm cock free. Sorry? Nope. Don't like the way that sounded.
Freeing all right. For yourself? Are you freeing your cock for the female audience? I am unsure.
Wait, what? Are you making. I can't be cock blocking you.
I can't do it.
You think I'm cock blocking you?
I don't understand.
I don't like this conversation anymore. Cock-freeing. Ignore. I have to. Pretend I didn't say that, please.
I love it. Nope. I love it. I'm using it. Cock-freeing. Trademark it. You heard it here first, folks.
There are some things I regret saying in life, and that was one of them. Put it on the list.
Free the cock.
Let's not ever say that again on this program. Okay.
You started it.
I'm ending it.
Too late.
No more.
Too late.
All right. Don't hashtag it. Don't make it a thing.
For your birthday? I can't wait.
Do not do anything with that on my birthday.
I can't wait. What do you want to do on your birthday?
If I see a piece of apparel that has that line on it.
You better wear it.
I'm burning it. Right.
You're going to burn my gift?
If you have a shirt that says free to cock on it, nope. Nope. The answer is simply nope. You can keep that shirt for yourself. That would be a perfect gift for me. Thank you very much. Let's move on. Because I don't want to have this conversation anymore. Yes, please make sure to follow the podcast on Instagram and on Twitter. And just make sure to stay tuned for more episodes. Because we does this.
Yep. There'll be a lot of free cocks.
Oh, my God. Please don't make this a thing. Please. I don't. Everyone listening, please do not message me about cock freeing. Please don't, because
you are the godfather. You created this. This is your universe, and
I'm going to kill it because I don't
like it. This is your universe. You can't kill your child. Stop that.
I can. Oh, I can. Don't even go there. That's not what I meant. Oh, you know what? This is getting off the rails. All right. Thank you so much for listening.
My mouth is watering. I can't wait for the next episode.
All right. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. This has been a time. Fun time or not, that's completely irrelevant. And we will catch y'all next time on this here program.
Thanks for listening. Free the cock.
I hate you. Goodbye.
Definitely sophisticated ignorance, and I'm fucking with it.